Let the church say amen. Church say amen again. And one more time for the Holy Spirit. We bless the Lord today for his goodness, his grace, and his mercy. Realizing that the hour is a little late, we are grateful for all that has happened in the Lord in this place. The celebration of our children, the blessing academically, the blessing of the teen choir and our adult choir, as well as everything else. And so let's get ready to turn our attention to the scriptures and share in the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Won't you turn with me in your Bibles, if you would, to the very small book of Esther. Esther is one of those seemingly obscure books that you find just before the wisdom literature. And so just before you get to the book of Job, you come across the 10 chapters of Esther. And I want to read really just one verse, Esther chapter 10, verse number 3. And if you would turn with me there. Actually, I'm going to read, I'll focus on 3, but I'm going to read 1 through 3. And so, just turn with me to the book of Esther. Esther, chapter number 10, verses 1, 2, and 3. Say amen when you've located the text. In the blessed name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. There in the text, you will find these words written. And King Ahasuerus imposed tribute on the land and on the islands of the sea. Now all the acts of his power and his might and the account of the greatness of Mordecai to which the king advanced him, are they not written in the book of the Chronicles of the Kings of Media and Persia? For Mordecai the Jew was second to King Ahasuerus and was great among the Jews and well received by the multitude of his brethren, seeking the good of his people and speaking peace to all his countrymen. I'm going to read one more time. Put that up on the screen so we'll read it all together in the New King James, verse number 3 of Esther. And again, this verse reminds, a couple of screens in, turn to the screen that has Esther 10, number 3. Put it back up on the screen for me. Bless the Lord. The scripture. For Mordecai the Jew was second to King Ahasuerus, read it with me, and was great among the Jews and well received by the multitude of his brethren, seeking the good of his people and speaking peace to all his countrymen. Here is the reading of God's divine and eternal word. May it edify and may it sanctify the people of God. I would that you pray with me on the title of today's sermon, Stomp on the Devil's Head. Stomp on the devil's head. Let's pray together. Father, I ask that your words would not return void, but that they may illuminate minds and encourage hearts and convict somebody's soul. I pray, Father, that the anointing would continue to fall fresh in this place. Thank you for what our teenagers have given unto us already. Thank you for what the choir have shared with us already. Thank you for what the effectual fervency of prayer has encouraged us already. And now, Lord, may your word inspire us, instruct us, teach us thine way. Help us to hide your word in our hearts that we may not sin against you, O God. And at the end of the day, may we all have concluded that it was good to have been in the house of the Lord on this Lord's day. We ask it all in the wonderful, matchless, and blessed name of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus the Christ, that all of God's children, the redeemed of the Lord, say together, amen, amen, and amen. God bless you, saints. You may be seated. And we again bless the Lord for all who have gathered in this place. This title, this sermon, if you would, combines a number of themes that which with which I would like to share with you today. So you may also take your seat. These themes include a few different traditions that, one, come out of our own African American experience, but also comes out of our Judeo-Christian experience, and which also one Jewish feast is clearly rooted within the Judeo, the Jewish tradition. And so today I want to talk about what it means to stomp on the devil's head as a reminder of the defeat that God has already assured us as people of faith. And today's theme focuses on a Jewish feast called Purim. Purim is a feast that is encoded and really taken out of the book of Esther. And when you read the entire book of Esther, the entire 10 chapters, you will come to the end of the text, which talks to us about this feast. And if you look at verse chapter number 9, verses 24 and 26, just look back in your Bible. Keep your Bibles open. Look in Esther chapter 9, verse number 24. It says in that text, because Haman, the son of Hammedatha, the Agagite, the enemy of all the Jews, had plotted against the Jews to annihilate them, and had cast Pur, which is a lot, to consume them and destroy them. And then verse 26 says, so they called these days Purim, after the name Pur. Therefore, because of all the words of this letter, what they had seen concerning this matter, and what had happened to them. And so the Jewish holiday or feast of Purim, again, which is taken from the Hebrew word pure, it is almost pronounced like our English word pure, but poor, which is where we get Purim. Im is a long I am. So Purim, I am, Elohim. It is the sense that of the gods, of all the gods, God is the greatest. That's what Elohim, the God of gods. And so Purim is the multiple, if you would, of the singular word pure, which is a lot. And you should remember that word from two Sundays ago, Resurrection Sunday, or at least three Fridays ago on Good Friday, when the Roman centurions cast lots at the foot of the throne of the foot of the cross, as they basically gambled for Jesus's attire. They tore his attire and cast lots for it as a sign of mockery of what was happening to Jesus. Come on, somebody. And so I'm going somewhere and tying in the New Testament theme of the cross, which I don't want to leave. I know Resurrection Sunday has come and gone. I know I'm not going to see some folk again until next Resurrection Sunday, but I'm glad y'all are here. Amen, somebody. And since y'all are here, y'all going to hear me preach about resurrection even after resurrection, because we should never leave the theme of the cross. Come on, somebody. It is the cross which continues to remind us of the salvation that was wrought on its wooden frame and mantle, and it is from the cross that Jesus rose and was lifted up and claimed all power and victory in heaven and earth in his hands. And so just like our teenagers sang a few moments ago, this sense of understanding that there is victory, that he is the risen king, he is the lifted king. And so we give ourselves to a risen king. We thank God for every remembrance. Some preachers, some old time preachers say, you should never preach a sermon, young man, without taking the folk to the cross. I believe that, although there's some moments where I may not necessarily go to the hung high, stretch wide, blood on his side, but I remind us at the end of the day that our salvation is based upon Jesus, our Christ. Somebody say amen today. And so I want to continue to always tie in Old Testament themes so that we understand the New Testament fruit. And one of my mantras in life is that you cannot understand the fruit of something until you understand the roots of something. That Christianity has roots in Judaism. In order to appreciate the fullness of Christ, you need to understand that he was a Jew and that the rituals and the observances that he had are reminders to us of his Jewish faith, and that yet he took that Jewish faith and breathed into it a new understanding of the relationship to God the Father. And so understanding fully Christianity, we have to understand the roots of Judaism. Amen. And so therefore, one of the Jewish rituals I want to leave plant in our head today is the Jewish rich feast of Purim. It is based on this very familiar story of a young Jewish maiden by the name of Esther. The book is named after this young Jewish maiden, and it is her story. It is the story of Esther and the story of her big cousin Mordecai that is told in the pages of the book of Esther. And so I want you to have the preacher's talking about the Jewish feast of Purim, but at the end of the day he's talking about stomping on the devil's head. And you need to understand the connection between Purim and stomping on the devil's head. I'm going to make it very, very plain and in a few moments, but stick with me over the next 10 minutes. But put up this next slide that says Yom HaShoah. This feast is another Jewish feast. Yom, which in Hebrew means day. Ha is the definite article, the. And so Shoah is remembrance. And so Yom HaShoah is the Jewish compound phrase that means the day of remembrance. What is Yom HaShoah? Yom HaShoah is like Yom Kippur. Yom Kippur is the day of. Anytime you see the word Y-O-M in Hebrew, it means day of something. And so Yom HaShoah, put the slide back up, is the Jewish day of remembrance for the Holocaust. And it just happened. It happened on April the 10th, just last week. I was invited by my good friend, Dr. Paul Winkler, to go down to the New Jersey State Museum, where dozens and hundreds of Jewish brothers and sisters and survivors of the Holocaust. Listen, those men and women who were children at Treblinka and Auschwitz and Dachau and other places of Nazi extermination. It was a plot by Hitler to get rid of our Jewish brothers and sisters. It was called the Final Solution. It was this attempt to eradicate Europe of all of the Jews and then thereby Christianize and Anglicize Europe by getting rid of the Jewish brothers and sisters. But remember what I just said. You cannot celebrate Jesus without understanding Judaism. You cannot lift up the cross without understanding what it meant to understand Jewish identity. You cannot take communion, bread and cup, without understanding the Feast of Passover, unleavened bread, at the blood of the Lamb that caused the death angel to skip over. Come on, somebody. And so Hitler was sadly mistaken that if he was going to elevate Christianity by getting rid of the Jews, he was doing himself in by not understanding the Jewish roots of Christianity. That's why he was called a madman, crazy, lunatic, and folk bought into his lunacy. And they complied and consented with annihilation and destruction of a whole people. There's a statement that says, be careful of not speaking up in somebody else's tragedy. They came for the Native Americans and I said nothing. They came for the Hispanic, Latino brothers and sisters and I said nothing. They came for our Asian brothers and sisters, and I said nothing. They came for our Japanese, and I said nothing. And when they came for me, there was nobody else to say anything for me. It is a reminder that if we don't speak out, against other folks' atrocities, then don't be surprised when other folk don't speak out against our own atrocities. Amen, somebody. And so I am using Yom HaShoah, the Feast of Remembrance, to not only show solidarity with our Jewish brothers and sisters, but to help them understand that if we don't speak out against racism and bigotry and hatred and prejudice, wherever it rears its ugly head, then shame on us. It should not be that black folk only want other folk to learn about us when we have February Black History Month. No, every day should be Black History. Every month should be Black History. But we too should also speak out for our brothers and sisters whenever we see other folk who are being abused and misused and the victims of hatred and bigotry. Amen. Because it rears its ugly head at any moment and at any time. And the devil is no respecter of persons. Come on, somebody. So what he does, what he tries to do to other folk and kill them, he's also trying to kill you. And now you're getting the point. But when the devil rears his ugly head, you need to learn how to stomp on his head and remind him that he is defeated and that he is a liar and that his evil plot will not win and that Jesus paid it all and that I've got victory in the name of Jesus. I've got power in the name of Jesus. Have got the ability to rise above what he's trying to do. And so every time he rears his ugly head, you need to stomp your feet, step on his head, and say, I am a child of the living God. Come on, somebody. And so Purim, the Feast of Purim, is literally the Jewish brothers and sisters celebrating that the evil plot to annihilate the Jews did not come to fruition. You know the story. Haman, who was one of King Ahasuerus's right-hand men, he was the one who carried out the plots of the king. And now, even though in this case, the king was tricked, if you would, into an evil plot to get rid of the Jews. And so Holocaust is encoded in the Bible. It's not the first time. Go back to Joseph and Pharaoh. Pharaoh said, there's going to be too many of these folk. They're going to multiply too fast. We need to do something about the Jewish issue that's coming up. And so not only did he work them to death, but this is where God raised up Moses and sent Moses to Pharaoh and said, Pharaoh, let my people go. Pharaoh didn't want to do it, but God sent 10 plagues. And at the end of the 10th plague, Pharaoh had an understanding that against his better will, he let Moses lead the people out of Egypt. But while they were on their way, he came back to himself and sent his army to chase the Jewish people down. And you know the story. They got to the Red Sea. Moses was looking ahead of him. There was a body of water. He was looking behind them. There were Pharaoh's army. To the right was some mountains. To the left was some mountains. Where is a man or a woman to go? But God said, what's in your hand, Moses? Use what you have. Use what you got. That's our problem. Some of us don't know what we have. Some of us underestimate what we've got right in our hands. God said, use what you have. Strike the water. Moses struck the water. The water divided. Moses led the people on dry land. Come on, y'all. Through the Red Sea. And when Pharaoh's army was chasing them behind, God said, hit it again. And the water came tumbling down. Don't tell me God won't take care of your enemies. Don't tell me God won't take care of your bad people. Don't tell me God cannot move mountains out of your way. It's not the only time somebody tried to get rid of the Jews. It wasn't just Pharaoh and Moses, even when Moses was a little baby. Another Pharaoh said, kill all the Jewish boys. And then we go over to the New Testament. Hey,
King Herod heard about Jesus. Said, we need to do something about this thing, this Jewish thing. We can't have a king of the Jews rise up. And so he said, kill all the Jewish boys. Tell me where this star is. Tell me where he is. But the three wise men listened to God instead of listening to the king. And so they went another way. And because they went another way, the king plot did not come to fruition. Let me tell you something. The devil is always trying to plot your downfall. The devil is always trying to knock you down. The devil is always trying to pull the rug from under your feet. The devil is always trying to discourage you on your job. Some of y'all have powerful jobs. You're the only black in certain positions. But I need you to understand that God did not put you there in order to let you fall. If he brought you there, he's going to keep you there so that he can get the glory. I don't care where you are, what you're going through, what you've been through. The devil is a liar today. And I just stopped by to remind somebody that you've got something in your hands and you've got something in your feet. And I want you to step on the devil's head and say, devil, you are a liar. You are a liar. You are a liar. I know what you're trying to do. Trying to destroy my people. Trying to destroy my family. Trying to destroy my body. Trying to destroy my church. Trying to destroy my job. Trying to destroy my mentality. Trying to destroy my happiness. Trying to rob me of my joy. Trying to make me sad. Trying to make me dejected. Trying to make me rejected. But I'm here to tell you that God is able. God is able. Yes, he is. I don't have time to go deep into the plot, but you know the story. Read it for yourself. It's only 10 chapters. It's not long to read it. Mordecai, the uncle of Esther. Esther was a Jew, but she passed. You know what that means. It's an old southern term. Yeah, for folk who can get by because white folk didn't know they were black. Certain folk pass. And there's nothing wrong with that. It's just if you pass and you don't know who you are, that's the problem. But if you pass and you're there for a reason, come on somebody. If they don't know who you are, but you know who you are, that's a different story. Mordecai reminded little Esther. I don't have time to go into Queen Vashti and Esther, and Vashti wouldn't bow down before the king, so he got rid of Vashti and said, I want a new queen. And there was a search in all of the kingdom to bring me the most beautiful women that's out there. And so he brought all these Jewish maidens and chose Esther. Didn't know that she was a Jew. Listen now. Look at how God works in the midst of evil plots. Didn't know she was a Jew because Esther was passing. But Esther was reminded of who she was by Uncle Mordecai. Thank God for Uncle Mordecai. Cousin Mordecai, I should say. Cousin Mordecai reminded Esther of who she was. And so it came down to the plot where the Haman, the evil one, who wanted to annihilate the Jews, just like they wanted to annihilate the Jews in Moses' day and David's day and Jesus' day, and just like they wanted to annihilate the black folk in slavery. And part of the fact, they didn't want to annihilate us, they just wanted to use us. Yeah, our black Holocaust is different from the Jewish Holocaust. Because in the Jewish Holocaust, Hitler said, I want to get rid of 6 million of them. Really, he wanted to get rid of all of our Jewish brothers and sisters. And listen, ladies and gentlemen, he was on his way to doing it. Innocent Jewish children, men and women, were sent to their death. And God raised up non-Jewish folk like Oscar Schindler, who wasn't Jew. You know the movie, Schindler's List, who wasn't Jewish but saved hundreds and thousands of Jews. Raised up a man by the name of Raoul Wallenberg, who wasn't a Jew but helped save over 100,000 Jewish brothers and sisters. Read the story. Yom HaShoah is then the day to remember the 6 million that died. And just like you and I should never forget the countless millions. We don't even know how many millions of Africans died in the castles at Elmina and Cape Coast and along Ghana's and the west coast of Africa before they even got on a slave ship to die on this middle passage. They put us in like sardines in the bottom of the ship. Some of us die simply from all of the disease that were in the bottom of the ship. And when the slave captor ships came, they would chain hundreds of us at a time and throw us down off the ship, and we would drown, literally chained, and chained Africans would drown in the bottom of the ocean. The stories are told that sharks used to follow the slave ships because they know that every now and again they were going to toss some men and women off the slave ships and they would have a good meal. I'm talking about a Holocaust, y'all. Not just the black Holocaust, not just the Jewish Holocaust. Let's talk about the Native American Holocaust. The Iroquois Indians and the Blackfoot Indians and the Lakota Indians and the Seminole Indians, who were not only put on reservations, but they were mowed down because they wanted their land. I'm telling you the truth. But not just people of color. I can go to Ireland and talk about an Irish Holocaust. I can go to Croatia and talk about a European Holocaust. That evil has no respect of what race, although certain people have always been on top. I'm still here to remind you that the devil is a liar. Oppression is pressing on every hand. And so the story goes, going back to Esther. Esther got wind of a plot that Haman, think of Haman like Hitler. Haman wanted to get rid of the Jews. God raised up Mordecai to remind his little cousin Esther that she needs to go tell the king about the plot. Esther understood that there was a law that if I approached the king, I could be killed. And nobody approaches the king without permission. And so she said these famous words. I want you to put this screen up on the text. Esther chapter 4, verse number 16. She said, I made up in my mind, go get all my Jewish brothers and sisters and tell them to start fasting for me. Tell them to start praying for me. Tell them to start lifting me up because I'm about to do something. I don't know what's going to happen. Tell them to pray. How many of you know prayer changes things? And so Esther said, go tell all my people to start praying for me. And then Esther said these famous words, I'm going to go before the king, and if I die, I die. Come on, somebody. That's called faith. And she says, I don't care what happens to me. I don't care what he does to me. I don't care how they look at me. I don't care what they say about me. I don't care what obstacles they throw in my way. I don't care how they give me a cross-eyed look and suck their teeth at me. I don't care if they call me everything but a child of God. When you know to do right and you don't stand up for God, then the devil's gonna get the best of you. But I'm here to remind somebody that when you put God first, when you lift up the Lord, God will always lift you up. If you make a way for God, God will always make a way for you. Do I have a witness today? Has anybody ever put God first? Hasn't God done what he promised he would do? Hasn't he made a way out of no way? Hasn't he moved a mountain that you couldn't move yourself? Hasn't he built a bridge over troubled waters? Hasn't he been a doctor in the sick room? A lawyer in the courtroom? Hasn't he done it? Hasn't he done it? The Bible says that Esther got bold. Esther got full of God's Spirit. Esther got full of the Holy Ghost. Esther got full of the anointing. And said, I don't care what he does to me. I gotta stand up for God. And when I stand up for God, I'm stomping on the devil's head. Come on, somebody. My God, my God, my God. Esther went before the king. Don't you know God worked that thing out? The king heard Lord Hester, Haman's plot was destroyed, and the very thing that he used to try to get rid of the Jews, poor, listen now, poor, P-U-R, lots, God turned that thing around and made the very thing that was trying to destroy them a feast of remembrance, that God can take your evil stuff. God can take your messed up stuff. God can take your crooked places. God can take your rough places. God can take your enemies and make them your footstool. Come on, somebody. Sometimes when you're trying to go higher in the Lord, you need a footstool to step up on. Sometimes when you're trying to go higher, God will send some enemies your way so that your enemies don't get the best of you, but they are only a footstool to help you step up a little bit higher. The Bible says that Purim became a feast of celebration, a feast of remembrance about what God had done in the life of our Jewish brothers and sisters. And even to this day, they have something called the Feast of Purim. It was celebrated this year on February the 23rd, just 10 days after we celebrated Ash Wednesday on February the 13th. And so sometimes the Jewish feasts will line up with our Judeo-Christian feasts. But if they don't line up, you and I need to be reminded that whether it's a Jewish feast or whether it's a Judeo-Christian feast, that God is still in the reminding business. Sometimes you need to look into scripture to get a remembrance that what God can do. And if God did it for others, he can also do it for you. I just stopped by to tell somebody that God is still in the blessing business. I just stopped by to tell somebody that God is still in the mountain moving business. I just stopped by to tell somebody that God is still in the miracle working business. I don't know what you're going through. I don't know what you're in right now. I don't know what you're about to go through. But I just stopped by to tell somebody that if you just hold on to God's unchanging hand, that God can and God will and God shall make a way out of no way. I just stopped by to tell somebody that if you just get on your bending knee, that the Lord will hear your prayer and the Lord will move in your situation. I just stopped by to tell somebody that God is still God all by God's self. I don't care where you are. You need to stand up for God. I don't care where you've been through. You need to stand up for God. I don't care what you're about to go through. You need to stand up. Stand up for God. Now let me go to my seat on this thing. There is a celebration that is a part of the Jewish Feast of Purim. Listen to me now. Let me get down so I can demonstrate. Part of the Feast of Purim is that when they read the book of Esther, every time Haman's name is mentioned, they start making a lot of noise. Let me practice with you. Every time Haman's name is mentioned, they start saying, boo, Haman, and bad, Haman, and get behind me, Haman. And so that's what our Jewish brothers and sisters do. Listen, every time they read the book, they remind themselves that Haman was the evil one, and Mordecai and Esther were the good ones, but God is the great one. Come on, somebody. And so when they hear Haman's name, they start saying a loud negative noise. Let's join in with our brothers and sisters from the Jewish Feast of Purim. And now Haman.
Ooh, Haman.
Now y'all getting the message. And now Haman.
Ooh.
Had an evil plot to destroy the Jews. And now Haman.
Ooh.
Tried to do negativity against Esther. And now Haman.
Ooh.
wanted to do something against Mordecai, and now Haman didn't want to hear what God had to say, and now Haman. Y'all getting a message now? Now, what they do with the Jewish feast, not only do they say boo, but some of them get up and they start stomping. Yeah. They start stomping their feet on Haman's head. Because Haman is a what? Yeah, so not only do I want you to say boo, but I want you to get up on your feet and start stomping on Haman. And now Haman tried to do evil against the king, and now Haman tried to do evil against Esther, and now Haman tried to do evil against Mordecai, and now Haman. Now let me turn this thing around. In 2013, we still got some Hamans, but they come in the form of Satan. And so now when you hear Satan, I want you to lift it up a little louder and say, boo, and stomp on the devil's head. And now Satan tried to come against Shiloh Baptist Church. And now Satan tried to come against your family. And now Satan tried to come against your body. And now Satan tried to come against your job. And now Satan is defeated. Satan is a liar. Satan is under my feet. Satan. 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 Stomp on the devil's head and give God some praise, because God is God. Oh, by God's help, I need some worshipers. I need some deliverers. I need some saved folk who sure enough know that God can do everything but fail. Give God a praise offering in this place. I mean, praise Him like you know what He's done for you. Praise Him like He's made a way for you. Praise Him like He's a mountain mover. Praise Him like He's a burden bearer.
Thank you, Lord Jesus.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you.
In the name of Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Deacons and deaconesses and clergy, help me extend an invitation.
Thank you, God. Oh, you're worthy, God.
Somebody needed to be reminded.
Thank you, my God.
That you can stomp on the devil's head. I don't care where you are. I don't care what you're going through. Call the devil's name and say you are a liar. And when you say you're a liar, what you're saying is that God is above your evil ways.
Thank you, my Lord.
He didn't destroy Esther. He didn't destroy Mordecai. He didn't destroy Moses. He didn't destroy Joshua. He didn't destroy Deborah. And He's not going to destroy you. He's going to try, but He's not going to be successful. And every time He tries and God delivers you, you need to do a little holy dance and stomp on His head in the name of Jesus. Somebody here today needed to be reminded of not just Yom HaShoah, the Jewish Holocaust, not just Yom Purim, the Feast of Esther and the Feast of Lots, but you need to be reminded that you and I can celebrate feast today. Every victory He gives you is cause for a feast. Yes, it is. I need you to celebrate God and give Him glory. Go ahead and sing, choir. And as they sing, two invitations are extended. If you don't have a church, I'm asking that you would come and become a part of our congregation. We're not perfect, but we love the Lord. We're not perfect, but we love Jesus. So if you're looking for a church that's not perfect, but is trying to do what God wants us to do, I want you to come in Jesus' name. But more importantly than a membership is relationship with Jesus. A
And you can't dance and step on the devil's head if you don't have a relationship with Jesus. Because it doesn't mean anything to you. You got to know Jesus for yourself, and that he has all power. He's got all power in heaven and earth. And you've got victory. But you gotta claim that for yourself. So God is calling you today, whoever you are. Go ahead and sing, choir. Sing this song. Sing it to the glory of God. Anyone here today? Anyone here today?
You continue.
My God, my God.
You continue to bless me.
My God, my God.
In spite of all the wrong I've done,
in the name of Jesus,
you still gave your only son.
Are you here today?
Yes.